We've got some ground to cover tonight. It's been a couple of weeks, several weeks now, since we've been in our study of Samson and Christ. And we've had just a perfect timing for a break, if we were going to take one in this study, with the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, just at the perfect time, because as we saw, in that time frame of Jesus Christ, he became like mere man. In other words, once he decided to give himself over, once he decided to give himself over go on with the plan, he became weak, and they were able to take him, beat him, and do all the things that they did to him, mock him, and then nail him to a tree, and put him to death. He looked like mere man. And, of course, he submitted to that point. And that has been our study over the Easter time. Now let's go back and see how all of this looks even more dramatically, with that so prominent now on your mind. Take some of the words and the wording that we're going to see with Samson, and how powerful our study of Samson as a pattern of Christ continues to flow through with us. In order to see these things and not the traditional things that most people pull out of the study of Samson, requires, as far as I'm concerned, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to open our eyes that we can see what God is doing and giving us this story. But as important, so what? What difference does all of this mean in my life, in my marriage, in my business, in my social life, in my assembly, in my relationship with God? So let's prepare ourselves that the Spirit can open our eyes and take us on this journey. Wow, what a journey, Heavenly Father, in the superficial reading, this man just lacks anything that would commend us to study him and to want to imitate him. And yet, Heavenly Father, when we allow your Spirit to open our eyes as to what's going on, we see ourselves and how we are all like Samson. We see, Heavenly Father, your great grace and your great power and your great love, what you can do if we would just allow you to do so, and what happens when we do not. Pray, Father, that your Spirit now will open our eyes this evening, protect us from the powers of darkness, and, Father, the power of the flesh that would want to creep in and shout no. So, Father, pray your Spirit will be the teacher tonight. He will give me the words to say of truth and simplicity. Open our eyes, Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Sam, where we left off, Samson has told Delilah three lies. We have noted how they are lies and they are not lies. She has put herself in that position, as have the rulers of the Philistines, that there must be some kind of a secret related to physical things for his being so strong. And so, with having that as the premise, he just plays along with her, much like God does with us. If you accept the premise that it is not going to be simply by faith, just by trusting God, that he is going to save us, that he is going to restore us from sin, that he is going to bless us, that he is going to transform us into the image of Christ simply by trusting him, if you do not accept that, then you set yourself up within what's the secret. If it isn't just by trusting God, then what is it? And that's where denominations and movements of men come in the flow of church history. We have found the secret. You stay with our denomination, our organization, my ministry, my movement. I've got the secret. And you just stay with us and you'll get it too. And they can take you down any journey, any road that you can imagine. And all kinds of interpretations of the law. Do and do, do and do. Why would we accept all of that? Because we have first of all accepted the fact that it's not going to be simply by trusting him, and that there must be a secret, and so we're lined ourselves up to be made mockery of. We've lined ourselves up to be taken advantage of and taken down various journeys that churches and people will take you on. Once you've accepted the fact It isn't going to be just simply by trusting him. So, we've seen the three lies. Now, we move into a very dramatic point, and a very important point in our studies tonight and the next few weeks. We're almost through with the study, sad to say. It's time. It's time for Samson to become mere man. He's told her three lies. They tried him. He snapped out of all of them. By the way, you recall that all three lies, in some way or another, taught us about the law. How the law likes to bound us tightly, and we studied all of that. Same wording in each one of the three, and that's what the law does. It's going to confine me. He snapped right out of it through the power of God. Just like we snap out of the power of the law when we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not under the law. So, but now it's time. And what causes it to be time? What are some of the mechanical, physical things that are going to happen? Here again, we're going to see some of the same parallels that we've been studying at the Easter study of the 10 days to the resurrection. Let's just begin reading to get us back into our momentum. We've done so many things in our lives since this study, so let's go back and start at verse 13 just to pick it up. Now, three lies. And three times he's just snapped right out of it, verse 13. Then Delilah said to Samson, now we've studied verses 13, 14, 15, and even parts of 16, but let's just read without going back over everything. Then Delilah said to Samson, up to now you have mocked me. Remember that the word deceived means mock. This is the same word that Elijah used with the priest of Baal. He mocked them. Okay, you have mocked me, and you don't want to mock a woman. You know, there's just certain things that are different between men and women, and that's one of them. You don't want to mock a woman. And it just isn't going to work. You mock a man, and they either laugh, or they'll get back on the playing field and show you different later. But women, you don't want to do this. Don't mock a lady. So Delilah said to Samson, up to now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you may be bound. And he said to her, if you weave the seven locks of my hair, and we studied this in the web, and then note, if you weave the seven locks of my hair with a web, and there's our word again, and fasten. That's what the law does, and fasten it with a pin. And I shall become weak like sheep. So while he slept, Delilah took the seven locks of his hair, wove them into the web, and she fasted. We studied what all of this means. She said, the Philistines are on your butt. He awoke from his sleep and pulled out the pin of the loom and the web. Okay, I didn't really mean to read that one. That's the third line. Now verse 15. Then she said to him, okay, this is it. How can you say, I love you? And this is just, we saw this in with his wife. When about the riddle, when he spoke in riddles, this whole thing, you don't love me anymore. And if you loved me, you wouldn't do this. This has just been as long as there has been romance. You don't love me anymore, as what she is in effect saying. How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? When you deceive me, you do not trust me. You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your strength is. Okay, now verse 16. And it came to pass when she kept pressing, the Hebrew is just kept pressing daily with her words, urged him that his soul was annoyed or actually exasperated to the point of death. Be funny with it. She just nagged and nagged and nagged and nagged and nagged and wasn't going to let up. Being serious with it, something else is going on. Let's look at this spiritually for a moment. Does it ever look like God doesn't love you? It's a very important point in your life. It's a very important point in your life when you say to God, you don't love me. It doesn't look like you love me. No, you don't love me. And it becomes a great test in our faith, in our relationship with God. And we've talked about that in the spiritual journey. Now, we have the picture here of just this daily pressure and the pressure that she puts on. And note what she does it with. With words. With her words. Now, in Job, he makes a very important statement. In Job, he says, in regard to with her words, with your words to his three friends, you crush my soul. This old thing, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a lie. It's wrong. And they crushed Job's soul with their words. They just kept pounding and crushed his soul with their words. And a very important phrase that I want you to see here is to the point of death. I'd rather die than to continue with this daily pressure. And God brings this to this point. Job worded it this way: why did I not die at birth, come forth from the womb, and expire immediately? Elijah had the same attitude, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a Jupiter tree and requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough for me, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Okay. Without examining it, the thing I want you to see is he's brought to that point of death. I don't know if you've ever been here. It's a very important place to be spiritually. Jonah was at the same place. Jonah said in the midst of his journey, now it came about when the sun came up and God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul. This is important, people. This is not a country and western song. This is important. He begs with all of his soul, death is better to me than life. And these are people that are very important in God's whole plan. And they come to this point and then are ready to make some great faith. This, when you're at this point, you're at the crisis of faith. And we talk about the crisis of faith. It's where you really begin to learn to live your life by faith. And you go through the crisis of faith. And they are at this point in this study. She pressed him so hard, delighted Samson. She just kept pressing him, his soul, with the words and with the circumstances and all these things. Now, what does this sound like? If you want to turn to it, I'm going to read what we've read a couple of weeks ago, Matthew 26:36. Sounds like Jesus Christ, if you see. Remember, we've been seeing how Samson is a pattern of Jesus Christ. Now, these are the words of Jesus Christ prior to the cross, prior to where he just says, okay, I give in. You can take me and crucify me. What brought Jesus to that point? When I say what brought him, I'm not talking about the historical, eternal plan of God. I'm talking about in his physical person. What physically happened that brought him to the point. And let's take a look at it in Matthew 26:36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, John, and began to be grieved and distressed. The word distress is the Greek word similar to the Hebrew word that we have in our text, where his soul was exasperated to the point of death. Here we have it, this where he was distressed. Verse 38 in Matthew, describing Christ, and he said to them, to the disciples, listen to his words and think about Samson, because he's getting ready to tell her something important. Samson is. So let's see if we can see the parallel here. Verse 37, and he took with him, verse 38, then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved, deeply exasperated. Now look at the next phrase, to the point of death. People, that phrase is not an accident, but it's almost word for word, one language to another. From what we're reading in Samson and what we read of Christ, if we want to see, if we will allow the Spirit to see what's going on, and he says, his soul, Samson in verse 16, if you start open there, his soul was exasperated, oppressed, to the point of death. Of Jesus Christ, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. When you reach that point, okay. It's going to sound like a give up, but it isn't. But it's going to look like weakness. That's where we're going to go with this. It's going to look like weakness. Okay, I give up. You can take me and crucify me. I give up. I'll tell you about my hair. Okay, verse 38. My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And that's parallel to what Samson said. My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Okay, verse 16. Now in your text, what we're reading here. Let me read verse 39 in the Christ story. And he went a little beyond and fell on his face and prayed. I want you to see the pressure. I want you to see the soul of Christ, and I want you to see the soul of Samson. And Christ went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. So under great pressure of the soul, Jesus Christ consented to go to the cross. He consented to become weak so that they could take him and make him like mere man. In Luke chapter 12, verse 50, Jesus Christ said, But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. So like Jesus Christ, Samson, or like Samson, Jesus Christ, whichever way you want to put it, they're going to give in. They're going to let themselves be taken. Not in weakness, people, but in compassion. It is compassion. It is compassion that compels Jesus Christ to say, Okay, you can take me. You can crucify me. It is not weakness. It is not giving up. It is simply, Okay. There's something that has to be done here. And he remains silent and let it happen. Let it continue. All right, Judges 16, verse 16. It came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was pressed to the point of death. He's ready to die. Three lies. Why three lies? Three lies are like the three denials by Peter. Establishes a pattern. You know from geometry, 3 points establish a line. This type of thing. It establishes pattern. Had they asked Peter 100 more times, he would have denied Jesus Christ 100 more times. If Samson was going to be asked and played around, this was a pattern. Pattern of his life. Pattern of Samson's life. It would go on and on. But now it's time. And that's what we're looking at here. The hour has come. The hour has come for Samson to be like mere man. Look at verse 17. It's time for him to be like mere man. So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, A razor has never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am saved, then my strength will leave me. And note the last phrase, because it is the pivotal phrase. I shall become weak. And be like any other man. Be like any man. What did Jesus Christ look like once he allowed them to take him? He looked like any other man. What did he look like while they were beating him and mocking him? It didn't look like he was a god. It didn't look like he had the powers that he had demonstrated. He just looked like a mere man. What did he look like when they started driving the pegs through his hands and feet and putting him on a cross? What did he look like on the cross? He looked like mere man. Another man, not anybody special. So, who does Samson sound like here? He sounds like when God became man. 2 points that we could use here, not only the one I have been using, dealing with the crucifixion, but turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 a moment, please. Look with me at Philippians chapter 2, just to see the picture. Now, dramatically, it's at the cross, but let's just get another shot at Jesus Christ, at another pivotal point that we often don't think about. We think more of going to the cross, but there's something as equally powerful to Christ, to God, as is going to the cross. All right, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. We're going to come back to it, but I want to read it first. But emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of men. Homoema, likeness, resemblance. God is going to be like man. It's a powerful thing. This is something Jesus Christ has never been. The phrase, the title, Son of Man, I forgot the number of times that that is used in the Gospels, but all but once, I think it's something like 60 times, and all but once, it's by Jesus Christ himself. He's fascinated with that title. See, we're fascinated with the title Son of God, because that makes him God. He's fascinated with the title Son of Man, because he's never been that before. He's always been God. But he has never been Son of Man. He's never been man, representative of man. So it becomes something phenomenal for him. Let's read from Philippians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 1. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, and there is, first class condition, and there is, if there is any consolation of love, and there is, when we continue back and note the 16 impacts of spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13 on Tuesday night, that's not all the impacts. That's just 16 that Paul put together. But there are a lot more in Scripture, and when we get to those, we're going to come there, and this will be another one, looking at another impact or effect of spiritual love. Continuing verse 1. If there is any fellowship of the Spirit, fellowship in our relationship with the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love. Now, being of the same mind, what does that refer to? Well, that refers to, just all doctrine, all Bible, all things. No, let's stay in context of what we're dealing with here. What is the mindset that's being talked about here? Maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. People, if we could just grasp verses 1 and 2, we'd stop judging one another and stop attacking one another and in spiritual love toward one another. Verse 3, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with, and we don't have time to study these things, but with humility of mind. Now, what's humility? I'll just walk by faith. It takes great humility to say, I won't do anything because I can't. I'll just trust you. Humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than self. If you have that attitude, you'll do what Christ did. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. In other words, their reconciliation, their restoration, their relationship with God. Have this, or here it is, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the mindset we want that is talked about in verse 2, the same mind. Have this mindset, this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, what was this mindset of Christ Jesus? Who, although he existed as God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Now, that's a funny wording. If you're just reading in literature, you wouldn't have expected that type of wording. Where does that come from? Well, if we have time, I'd show you that's what Satan is always grasping for, to be God. In Isaiah, he says, I am. Not only does he say, I will be like God, later on in Isaiah, he says, I am. And he's grasping to be like God. That's what man does. Want to be like God. Many Christians, though they don't know that's what they're doing, but when they do live by law, that's what we're doing. So that's why he uses the word grasp. Verse 7. But emptied himself, humility, taking the form, here we go, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Okay, he became mere man. What happens to man? Man dies. Man dies. You have an appointment with death. Samson became like man. It's time to die. They're not going to take Samson until Samson's ready. He can kill 1,000. He can kill 1,000 without even thinking about it. He can put 1,000 to flight if he wants to. They came out to Jesus Christ and he said to them, "Who are you seeking?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He says, "I am," and they all fell down. They're not going to take Jesus Christ until Jesus Christ is ready. They're not going to take Samson until Samson is ready. The pattern was seen, the picture that we're seeing here. It's very important for our personal lives, and we'll come to that in our study. Okay. So, Jesus Christ became like mere man. Let me just stop now and talk with you. This is what spiritual love will do. What does Jesus Christ look like on his knees washing feet? Like mere man, like a servant. What does he look like on the cross? See, most people have this idea, if I walk in the Spirit, I'll be John Wayne. If I walk in the Spirit, I'm going to be 2 inches above the ground, and boy, I'm just going to be all powerful, and nothing horrible is going to happen. People, sometimes when you walk in the Spirit, the most horrible things will happen. And you're taken there by the Spirit. To man, it doesn't look that way. To man, it doesn't look that way. That's why you've got to know when you're walking in the power of the Spirit. You've got to know what you're doing in your soul, your relationship with God. Because man is going to judge very differently than what is really going on. Now, the way Samson words it, he became weak like any other man. Please turn with me to Romans 8 a moment. Romans 8. Somewhere along the line, and I know you know this, we're going to have to spend time in a length of time in Romans 8, if not the whole book of Romans, and 2 Corinthians 3. They are the heart and core of the new covenant. Okay, Romans 8. So we'll just look at one verse that I think you'll see why we're turning there. Look at verse 3. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son. Now look how he sends him, in the likeness of sinful flesh. I like this because we just saw a passage where Jesus Christ did it. Now we see a passage where God the Father did it. God the Father sent him. So what you're dealing with is don't get into this deal where I'm going to separate and all this. God the Father sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit. They're a unit. They're one. Okay. So now, how does Jesus Christ come? Like sinful flesh. What's Samson look like? Sinful flesh. This is no accident. Now, at least anyone misunderstand, he is sinful flesh, Samson. He is sinful flesh. But I'm talking about, if we look at really why is this whole story in the Bible, if we're on the right track here, he's trying to show us something about ourselves. And we'll come to that before we close. I won't leave you without having said it again. Okay. So, in our study now in Judges, it is the hour for Samson to become like man, weak, that he might be taken, that he might be tortured like Christ was, and killed like Christ was, but not until he is ready to become mere man. And we're going to see how you and I become like mere man. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes as to what's going on. Otherwise, people, we're going to be like everyone else. We're just going to judge Samson. Samson, you are weak. You're getting what you deserve. You're a horrible person. And you're a womanizer. And you have a sexual pattern of sin. And there's a lot of problems with you, Samson. And that's the way we're not going to get beyond that if we don't allow the Spirit to say, wait a minute, I'm showing you something about yourself. I'm showing you something about the solution to all of these things. If we allow the Spirit to lead us, he'll open our eyes to see. when Samson people, watch, when Samson is in the power of the Holy Spirit, he has supernatural power, and he's not like normal man. He's not like any other man. Samson is strong. He's like, looks like Jesus Christ. He looks exactly like Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ is in his power. So, in the spirit, Samson is perfect, as it were. But now, he's going to become like man, and he's going to become very weak and vulnerable, even to the point of death, just like Jesus Christ. They're not going to take Christ until he becomes weak and vulnerable to death. Okay, look at 16:16. Judges 16, now we're ready for verse 16. And it came about, happened, Hebrew, very dramatic, when or as she pressed him daily with her words. There it is again. With her words. Other people, preachers, what she did was she lured him with her body, and it was all, and the reason he gave in because of sex and all of this stuff. Read the scripture. It doesn't say that at all. Twice we're told the pressure she put on him. Twice. So you don't miss it. With her words. With her words. That's finally what did it with Job. He lost all of his property. Did that get him? No. He lost his family. Did that break him? No. Three friends came over and started talking. That did it. They started judging. Well, you must be doing something bad because bad things are happening to you. They're just like most Christians today. If you're good, good things happen, and if you're bad, bad things are. If you're bad things start happening to you, you're bad. It's just like Job's friends. And they crushed Job's soul. This is not just redundant for redundancy. This is very important. We are told this. With her words. He just kept pressing and kept pressing his soul and urged him that his soul was annoyed, distressed again to the point of death. You have it again. It's powerful. And we don't want to miss. We can't miss if we allow the Spirit to show us. This is something too important here. The wording is too similar to that of Christ for us to miss here. Okay, verse 17, it's time. So, he told her all that was in his heart and said to her. Now, this looks like weakness, doesn't it? Weakness. Looks like he's just really weak here. What does Jesus Christ look like when they arrest him and take him off and start mocking him, take off his clothes, mock him, put a crown of thorns to mock him? The Romans beat him, spit on him. Just kept on mocking. That looks pretty weak, doesn't it? Looks like weakness. But in Christ, as we're going to see, it's strength. Now, remember the principle. Here's the principle. God is going to take weak Samson, and he is weak, people. God is going, but we all are, is what I want to show you. God is going to take weak Samson and make him look like his own son. That's what he's doing. Exactly what he's doing. And this is what God can do for each of us if you let him. God can take every one of us and make us look like his son. You see, people, there are two great issues in the whole study of Samson. His strength, his weakness. They're powerfully blatant. In his strength, he kills a thousand. In his strength, he kills a lion. In his strength, all the things that he does. In his weakness, one lustful sin after another. One lustful sin after another. Failure after failure. People, that is a picture of us. This is what God does with us. He takes us, and when you and I are in the flesh, we look just like Samson. when you and I are in the power of God the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit He had, the same Spirit Christ has, you and I look just like Samson. To the invisible world, we are just as powerful as Samson and have just the same power that Christ had in the resurrection. But let me tell you something. If you do not see yourself as Samson, and this is where most Christians lose it, they read Samson, they preach Samson, they study Samson, and there's that dirty guy, not me. I'm not like that. Boy, you wouldn't find me giving in to all them women like he did. You wouldn't find me having lustful nature like he did. I'm better than Samson. Most Christians think that they are better than Samson even when they're in the flesh. Because we don't see ourselves as God sees us. People, if you would just allow yourself in the power of the Spirit to see that you are Samson in weakness when you're in the flesh, you are no better off. You may not go lie with all the women that he lied with, and you may not do all the things that he did in the flesh. You're just as bad and just as weak. But most Christians will not accept that. They will deny that. I am not that bad. Even when I'm in the flesh, I'm not that bad. You are that bad before God, people. This is what you and I have to see with our eyes. That when I am in the flesh, when we are walking in the flesh, we are weak Samson. And the problem is that our weakness can be seen in what I'll just put as overt, so we can communicate, overt sins or religious self-righteousness. I'm wonderful. Look how good I am. Heads of churches, heads of religious things, heads of this and heads of that, would never look like the sinful nature of Samson to the world, but to God, people, there's no difference in these two. They're both weakness. They're both rejected by God. Oh, you may look at the religious head who's walking in the flesh, looks very self-righteous, with the leaven of the Pharisees. Well, that person's really good, but boy, look at old Charlie over there. Boy, Charlie's off to all the bars. But look at this person. He's in the church. In fact, he's a preacher. In fact, he's a deacon. In fact, he's a leader of the church. He's the head of the church. He's the priest, the pope, the this, that, whatever. Much better than being like old Charlie. Not to the eyes of God. There's not a difference. There is not a difference. In fact, there is one difference. They think they're good. Charlie knows he's not. He knows where he is. He's not saying, follow me, I'm the way to God. They're saying, follow me. But there is a difference, there is, and this is the worst. But what I want us to begin to see is, in the flesh, we all look like Samson's weakness. But people, here's what God can do, and only God can do this. When we're in His Spirit, that is, when we are in the Holy Spirit, people, we all look like Samson. We all, every one of you, look like Samson in all of his strength. All the things that he did, you do, in the power of the Spirit. That's what you look like before God. And it's so important that we see this in the study of Samson. This is what you can look like. That God can take this horrible person that I look like here, and God can make me what? Make me look like. Make me look like His own Son. That's why God picked this person to make all of these things I'm showing you how blatantly he looks like Christ. Why am I doing that? Why is God doing that? If we're on the right track here, why did God pick this horrible person and over and over and over he looks like Jesus Christ? Because that's what he does with us. What do you think being transformed into the image of Christ is about? What do you think having Christ formed in you is about? It's about taking a wretched person in the flesh and making them look like his Son in glory. God can do that. That can happen to you. And it does happen to us. It happens when we continually walk by the power of the Spirit. We look like Samson. We look like Samson when we walk in the flesh. Oh, I would never go to the prostitute in Gaza. I would never do this or that. Oh, yes, you will. You won't look like that to the world. but you are desperately wicked before God. And until we see that, you're not going to see how great God is. Because you see, the people who are doing these things in the flesh and think that even in the flesh I'm still an okay person, they're not amazed at the power of God to make them like Jesus Christ, because they think they deserve it anyway. I'm a pretty good person. It's when you realize, oh, wretched man that I am. I lie down with prostitutes. I take my revenge on people. I, without reason, kill people. I'm a murderer. I'm all the things that the law detests. That's me, in the flesh. But in the spirit, I look like his son. And what does that do? Same thing we saw last night. What does that draw out of us? That draws out of us an unbelievable praise. Thank you, God, for doing something I could never do. Something I am totally unworthy of. I am unworthy to look like your son. But if you think you're worthy of that, you think you're so good, you're not going to be brought to this point of unbelievable praise. I know I don't deserve this. But just by walking in your spirit, you do this. What a God you are. What an awesome God you are. So I hope you're beginning to see why he took the worst person. Such a horrible person in the eyes of most people, and says, "But I'm going to make him look like my son over and over and over. I'm just going to mess up with your mind. I'm going to mess with your mind here. I'm going to take this person that you think looks so bad, and over, I'm going to say, oh, he looks like my son here. Looks like my son here. Looks like my son here. And it's going to make you mad and make you see what God is doing. That's what he'll do with me. He can make me look like yourself. I can make myself look like Samson in weakness. God can make me look like Samson when I'm in strength." Okay, and that preaching, I have to go on, but that is so important that we see that. Okay, verse 17. So he told her all that was in his heart. Now, apparently Samson told her a great deal about himself. The Hebrew here is intimate. Something really going on here between Samson and Delilah. Most people really give Delilah a bad rap. And I'm not saying she's a good person. Point. Leave Satan alone. Don't judge him. Don't fight him. Don't mess with him. There's something going on between God and Satan, people, that's beyond you and I. Maybe it's just a simple answer of God's love towards Satan. I don't know. That would be enough for me. But that God is going through, all that God is going through in history of man, even bringing us on the scene, there's something between God and Satan. Leave him alone. We can sit here and just rip him to pieces. We can take the Bible, boy, we can just rip Satan and give him what for. There's something between God and Satan. God is doing all that he's doing in all history, between him and Satan. My suggestion to you is, leave him alone. That's why Paul says to stand still. He doesn't say fight Satan. He says stand still. Put on the armor. What's the armor? Why the armor? If I'm going to stand still and not fight, why am I putting on armor? Because the armor, what's the armor? The armor is Christ. Christ will take on Satan, not you. Okay. You see that? Fine. If you don't, okay. Now, what we're interested in is this next line. A razor has never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God out from my mother's womb. Oh, boy, he told the secret. He's a Nazarite to God. If I am saved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become, look what he says, I shall become weak and be like any other man. I hope that none of you believe his strength is because of his hair. I didn't ask to be embarrassed at my poor teaching. I hope no one, none of you, even begin to think that his strength is in his hair. I'm going to show you But I just want to say that right now. The secret to Samson's strength is not in his hair. What Samson appears here, he looks like he's placing little value on his Nazarite position before God, and he relates the secret of his supernatural strength to a common superstition, to a common thing related to our flesh. If you think your strength is related to something about your flesh, then you've got a long way to go. There is no superstition about his hair and his strength, people. Samson's long hair has nothing to do with his supernatural strength. Where is he getting his supernatural strength? I will feel free to ask that. Where is he getting it? Holy Spirit. Not long hair. Not the Nazarite vow. He is getting it from the Holy Spirit. His long hair simply symbolizes his submission to God of his own life. It is for our study purposes, and we'll see why, it is our picture of our faith. The cutting of his hair is a symbol that he no longer is submitting to God. People, please understand, there were many men before Samson who took the Nazarite vow, who had long hair and did not have his strength. And there will be many men after Samson who, under the Nazarite vow, will have long hair and not have his strength. The secret to his strength is not in his hair. The source of Samson's strength, not related to a superstition of his long hair, not to the Nazarite vow, it is from the Spirit of the living God. And please get that solely in your soul. His strength is from the Holy Spirit, the power of the third member of the Godhead. An important word in verse 17, look at it again with me, is the word to leave. My strength will leave. And we're going to come back to that Hebrew word. My strength will depart. My strength will turn its face from me. And when that happens, I shall be weak and be like any other man. Do you see it? When you and I are in the power of the Spirit, we have His strength. When you and I stop walking by faith in the Spirit, when you and I are not walking in the power of the Spirit, we no longer have His strength. We become what? Weak, like mere man. That's why, if it's self-righteousness, we will take on a religious character and look oh so good and oh so nice and oh so holy and oh so pure and be rotten inside, dead corpse. If we are walking in His Spirit, we have His strength, His fruit, His life flowing through us. So that's the same thing. Let's take it in points. One, very simple things. One, what is the source of Samson's strength? The power of the Holy Spirit, third member of the Godhead. We've already seen that in the first chapter of our study, 13. And we'll see it again. Point two, what happens to his strength when the Holy Spirit leaves him? He becomes weak and will be like any other man. People were like any other man. What is going to come like? Point three, what is the source of our strength? What is the source of our spiritual strength? What's the secret? What's our secret? Anything physical? No. The Holy Spirit. And four, what happens to us when we lose His power? We become weak, like mere man, like any other man. We may look sinful to the eye, if that's our way we're going to go at it. Or we may look very religious, very self-righteous, very Puritan-looking, like the Puritans. They walked in the flesh. They hurt each other. They hurt their family members. Just read their history. That's why they died out so quickly. It wasn't something appealing. It was something that's horrible. Not unlike the scribes and the Pharisees and their righteousness. Leaven of the Pharisees is the most horrible thing that can happen, people. And that's what we can look like. We can look very, very good. We can look very, very bad. But before God, there's not a difference. We are weak, and we're doing it in the flesh. And that's one reason, people, I beg you, in the power of the Spirit, don't judge one another. Restore your brother, whichever case he is. If in the flesh he looks very weak, and by that I mean very simple, or in his flesh he looks very strong, being very religious and all, restore him to walk in the power of the Spirit. Don't judge. But this is what happens to us. What's the source of our strength? Holy Spirit. What happens to us when we lose this power? We look like mere man. And mere man can look real bad. Mere man can look real sinful, real weak. That's us. We look just... How can a Christian do such things? People, when a Christian's not in the power of the Spirit, he's like mere man. How could a Christian commit that kind of a sin, that kind of a crime, that kind of a this, that kind of a that? Because we're like mere man when we're in the flesh, people. That's the whole, one of the main things in this whole flow. Like mere men. And we've got to see what we look like when we're out of the power of the Spirit. We look like mere man. There's no secret. There's no secret. We look just like anybody else. But in the power of the Spirit, wow. Wow, what a difference. Now they want to know, what's the secret? How can you love like that? How can you love and forgive 70 times 7? How can you do this and that in love? How can you go down and wash the feet of your enemies? How can you die on a cross for others that they can be reconciled to God? By the Holy Spirit. So we have a picture of Jesus Christ. We have a picture of Samson here. So, the issue in the study is Samson's strength, Samson's weakness. That's one of the primary studies, things that I want you to think about when you think about the whole thing of Samson. Not Samson, Delilah. What about Samson? Samson's strength, Samson's weakness. Jesus Christ's strength versus Jesus Christ's weakness. He died in weakness. 2 Corinthians. We didn't study it in our Easter study. He looked weak on the cross. He looked powerful when he acts like God and heals, performs miracles. Feeds the 3,000, 5,000, has feet left over. Does that look like the same person up there on a cross in weakness and shame? You have a great contrast in the strength of Jesus Christ and the weakness of Jesus Christ. And people, the very same thing is true of you. It's a dichotomy of your strength and your weakness. When you're in the power of the Spirit, and when you're in the power of the Christ, that's the story of your life. That's what's going on with Samson. His unbelievable strength. People know about? What do people know about Samson? Just unbelievers. Even if they just got it at the movie. Two things that people know about Samson. Strength and weakness. Unbelievable strength. Unbelievable weakness. If they don't understand what's going on, I want you to understand. What's the deal with Jesus Christ? What do the Greeks think about Christ hanging on a cross? Foolishness. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for God to be hanging on a cross, that's foolishness. Why is it foolishness? Because that's weak. God's not weak. So what do you have when you study Christ? Unbelievable strength, unbelievable weakness. Hanging on a cross, bearing the judgment of the sins of the world on him. That's what you have with Samson. What you have with each of us in our life. When you and I are walking in the Spirit, we look just like Samson in strength. When you and I are walking in the flesh, we look just like Samson in weakness. So you may think you look a little more dignified before God is just as weak. And this is what God can do for us, people. He can take us from that weakness that we are. And say, hey, I'm going to make you look like my son. I'm going to transform you into the image of my son. It's a miracle. That's the secret to it. walking in my power, walking in the one that I send to you, the Holy Spirit. How do we walk in the Holy Spirit? Well, by just trusting him. Your strength when you're in the Spirit, I say, versus your weakness when you're walking in the flesh. Which do you want people to see? One of my regrets of not having the teenagers we used to have, to be able to teach teenagers, young people, popularity at school. Which person do you want them to see? Little Miss Popularity, Little Miss Personality, Mr. Football Guy, Mr. This, That, all that kind of garbage? Or do you want them to see the one that they're going to be with for all eternity? And often that's not always going to be beautiful. It's not always going to be up at the front, because love doesn't do that. Oftentimes love will make you take a back seat. Which person do you want them to see? Do you want to see strength or weakness? And walk in the strength. If you want the strength, you've got to walk in the power of the Spirit. It may not always be what you want. It may not always come across the way you think it should come across. It doesn't always look great. It looks like Christ hanging on a cross, Christ down on his feet, down on his knees, washing. It doesn't always look great. So, Samson is us. We are Samson. Samson is Christ. We are Christ. We can be made just like him. God can do that. And he will do that. We walk in the Spirit. Okay, next week we'll pick it up at verse 18. Father, wow, what an awesome God you indeed are. For we in our own souls know how desperately wicked we are. No matter the front we put before others, even in the flesh, we know in our souls that we are totally undeserving, that we are desperately wicked. As Paul said, O wretched man that I am. But in your Spirit, we can look like your Son. You make us look like that which you love so much, your Son. And become the object of your love. We share his sonship. Father, thank you for tonight, the journey we've gone on tonight. Pray, Father, that you call the Spirit just to sink these things into our soul. What we look like in weakness and what we look like in the power of your Spirit. It will become, Heavenly Father, a great encouragement day in and day out to walk in your Spirit by faith, that we might be transformed to look just like him. We praise you, Father, for the God that you are in your love. In Christ's name, amen.